So we've talked about the clash of kingdoms. This is our last message in the series. So much has gone on. We are reading through the Bible to get to know God. Jesus is the king of the only true and everlasting kingdom. He's allowed us to be kings and queens, leaders of our own lives, but he's called us to him, to be the leader, to repent of our own leadership. And we've looked at a ton of things. And like I said, rather than a long introduction, I want to lead you to the most shocking part of the kingdom story, the death and the resurrection of the king, the King of Kings. And so let's go straight to it. Matthew 26, and we're going to go 1-5. I'm going to get to a spot where I'm going to ask for somebody to read right here in front of everybody. And you're like, whoa, you should have gave me a heads up. Maybe. It's God's word. Some of you are good readers. Some of you have amazing voices. Some of you are readers that, no, I read really well, but only in my head, and I don't like reading out loud. Maybe you're actually supposed to read. We don't want to mock you. We want to join you in God's word. And so I'll read a little bit, but then I'm going to ask you to jump in, and I'm going to ask some people to read. So if you have your Bibles, crack them open. If you're like, oh, he's going to call me, I don't have a Bible. There's some strategically placed under the chairs. And here's another thing. Zach and Jamie are up there, and they could just click for you, and it would be amazing. So Matthew 26, 1-5, Lord, have your way in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And when Jesus finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. He calls it over and over again. This is the third time he says that he's going to die. And the Messiah is going to die. He says it's gonna happen. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. We got to do this kind of thing on the down low. That should have been a good indicator to them that it wasn't right. But it wasn't that. This was set in stone. Even though men were making bad choices, Jesus was going to use it. Psalm 76:10 says it like this, surely the wrath of man shall praise you. What? The remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. There's nothing God can't use. Now, he came to destroy the works of the enemy, but he will use and he will absolutely remind people of all of his authority. They were setting up quietly in the back, trying to scheme and to plan what would actually be the only thing that would set captives free, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the perfection, the Lamb of God, would die for the sin of all mankind. He who knew no sin would become sin, that we might become his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Friends, God can and will use it all. His idea, his plan, his hope, his call is that we would be his. But the King of Kings, as you're going to see through the stuff that we're going to read today, willingly laid his life down, actually intentionally laid his life down. If that sounds weird to you, let me ask you, when you are wronged, what's your go-to move? Defense? Objection? Look, I have rights. Don't trample on it. You're on my air hose, yo, I can't breathe. What's your go-to move? Are you somebody who says, look, it's not okay for you to be abusive. Please stop. Have you tried that over and over again? So many times what you're going to hear from preachers isn't necessarily what they're saying. So I'm going to ask your filters to be changed, cleansed by the Spirit of God. I'm not telling you to be a punching bag in a marriage. I'm not telling you to be a punching bag at work. I'm not telling you to be a doormat. What I'm asking you to do is look at the King of Kings who willingly laid his life down. Is there something you can do in your situation that would show Jesus off? Please don't get beat. Ask for help. Call us. If there's anything, any abuse that's going on, reach out. If you're like, I can't trust pastors, I can't trust church, call 911. If it's not to that point, but just people are, they're just not treating you right, and you don't like it. It's too long that I've been mistreated. No, I'm not being abused, but I'm being taken advantage of. I'm going to ask you to consider what Jesus did. So, if you guys are willing, I would love to have somebody, maybe multiple somebodies, read Matthew 26, 30 through 41. Who's willing? If you're a great-voiced individual, Debbie, thank you. Do you want to read the whole thing or just part of it? Or
just give it to you.
Get it, girl. All right, Matthew 26, 30 through 41. And you got her? Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. He's in such a humble spot. The King of Kings, the one that spoke and the worlds leapt into existence. The stars hung where they were at. That he asks people to pray for him. Three dudes. His kind of inner circle, if you will. And they couldn't keep awake. The flesh is what? What's the spirit? You feel that at all? I want to. I really want to. But ouch, it's hard for me. We know that he goes a little bit further and he falls down, right? And he prays and he did this three times. And Debbie read that. And I want to ask you to consider that Jesus says to his dad, look, if there's another way for this to go down, I would love for that to happen, but not my will, yours. Ben Murphy sits here with us, and he's helped me to be a better coach and a better teacher, and he and I have learned over and over again, like many of you who are in any kind of leadership role where you would be training, teaching, raising up people, end with the positive, and that's actually what they're going to remember. You end with a negative, and that's actually what they're going to remember. Jesus ends with, your will be done. Willingly laid down his life. He asked three times and then gets up, and we'll pick this up in verse 47. I'll read it for you. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him, a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, greetings, Rabbi. Does this remind you of anything in folklore? Anything that's happened in history other than Jesus? being betrayed with a kiss. Et tu, Brute? I mean, there's so many different stories. I don't know if you know this, but in all the genres, they actually get their foundation, the story that is, from the Word. There's all these twists on these stories that God wrote out. And there's great books out there. The best book, the most reliable book, is the 66 that either sits in a chair underneath you or underneath a chair or in your phone or up on the screen. 66 books that tell the truth over and over and over again. So he's betrayed with a kiss. Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and they laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now I'm talking, right? Hey, you don't come up on Jay like that. You don't do my boy like, he's the king. Don't you get this? I just told him I would die with him, and it's game time. You know, Jesus, right, being man and God, at this moment, you might be thinking, he's like, Peter, my boy, thanks, bro. Uh-uh. Put your sword away, Jesus said. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. You think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? I don't know how all of this works in the hierarchy of angels. There's archangels and then there's messengers and I mean there's warrior angels and there's this angel of death and it took one to wipe out all the firstborn of Egypt, right? And he's like, I could call 12 legions. Whether they're all powerful enough to wipe out by themselves a whole entire generation, one angel wouldn't have a problem with these people. He's like, look, I've got the power and the authority to call my daddy, and he would bring this down and wipe this place out, and we could start over. What do you do with your authority? What do you do with the power you've been given, the rights that you've been given? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled? That it must be so. At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. This might even call to mind for them what we read earlier in Matthew, that they tried to seize him, and he just walked right through their presence. I don't know if he went boop and was like Casper for a second and just walked through, had his cloak and invisibility. I don't know how all that worked out. What I do know is that the King of Kings, the authority, said, now's not my time. You don't get to grab me now. You don't get to take me out now. But there will come a time. But all this has taken place, he says, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then at that moment, all the disciples left him and fled. Please jump to verse 59. I want you to see how he willingly lays down his life, all these different examples. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. That is not very nice. They're seeking false testimony because they don't have any real testimony. They want to lie to catch him up. Jesus knows all of this. They don't have anything on you, Jay. Just keep your mouth shut and they'll not be able to do anything. But they found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at last two came forward and said, This man said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. Now, that's a big no-no because they really love that. That was where the Spirit of God was supposed to reside. You can't tear down the temple. There was temple worship, to be sure. But it was very precious, very valuable to them. It was gorgeous. If somebody came here and said, I'm going to just torch your building, I would hope most of you would be like, hey, that's no. But for them, it was even deeper than that. I don't have time to go through that, but that one got their attention. Ben said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you, swear to God, basically. I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said so. That is saying yes. He does this 3 times in this passage, or these passages, by the way. You've said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his robes and said, he's utter blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and they struck him, and some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? And Peter goes on to fulfill the testimony about him. And he denies Jesus 3 times. I want to ask you to consider this. I wrote it out. It comes from some notes that I was taking when John and Josh and I were talking about this particular passage. I mean, I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Jesus freak. I'm stoked about Jesus. If I can't get up for the death and resurrection of my Savior and not be able to give you something, then there's something wrong with me. But this just stopped me in my tracks. Jesus models for us how to respond to those opposed to us or in conflict with us. Instead of fighting them or even fighting for his own rights, he served those in conflict with him. Holy Spirit, I don't know how to make this apply to everybody. I know it does, but I ask that you would tell us in our own situations what this looks like. Pray this in your perfect name. Amen. Matthew 27:11-14. Yet again, Jesus is before an authority who can spare him. Would somebody really quickly read it? Debbie, you have such a great voice, but I want to hear another person. Thank you so much for that, by the way. Anybody else? Matthew 27:11-14. Go ahead, Nathan. Thank you.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you have said so.
Second time, by the way. Okay.
I knew you were going to do that. So.
You're welcome. Thanks for the pause.
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed.
Thanks, Nathan. Why was he amazed? He didn't defend himself. Golly. He said, yes, you say I'm the king? I am. I mean, that was the only time he answered the other guy. Like, swear to God, are you the Son of God? Are you the Messiah, aren't you? You've said so. But next time you see me, I'm coming back strong. I'm coming in hot. This time, you've said so. He's amazed, because that's not how people do it. Matthew 27:27-30. Jesus, thank you. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. They stripped him, they put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and they took the reed and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Jesus, may we not look at this as a familiar story, but have it fresh upon us today. The king gets dressed up as a king by the Roman captors. They mock him. They were delivered with the Jewish people, God's chosen people, not every single one of them, but this representation of them, in their anger and their wrath, crucify him. Take him. His blood be on us and our children. The crucifixion happens, and there's so much to that. I won't give all of the details or go into that. Come back on Good Friday. I'll explain a little more to you then. Or please just read through. I'm going to fast forward to Matthew 27, 35 through 44. Try not to teach on it too much. And they had crucified him. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. In the book of Luke, we find out that at that moment, Jesus, right before this moment, Jesus looks down on them and says to his Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge was against him. This is what happened. They would put the charge. If you were a robber, they'd say he's a thief. If you were a murderer, he's a murderer. And what was his crime? This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, mocked him, made fun of him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God," if, sound familiar at all? Matthew 4, Satan, "If you're the Son of God." All kind of attack on his identity. And they're just like jumping in. "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him." May God forgive us for the times where we say, "God, if you're real, you'll make my mess clean. Hey, God, if you did all of that in my presence, I'd be yours. I'd be yours forever." Blessed are those who believe Jesus and yet haven't seen all that they've asked for. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. If God really wants him, he'll come through. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were with him also reviled him in the same way. So much that I want to say, but do you see Jesus laying down his rights? Well, it was like a one and done. Because like the next time he comes, everybody else lays down. Okay. This is where we're at, though. We're in between those two times, right? Jesus laid himself down. What is he calling you to lay down for his kingdom's sake, for the glory of God? Verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness." This is midday. "Darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice," saying something similar to this. I'm sure it sounds different in the real language, but "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is a shout out to a messianic psalm. I believe there's more to it than him just saying, God, what's up? But this is real. Him in his flesh, he's saying, why? And anybody who would have heard this psalm would have known that it's a messianic psalm. And there's a lot more in that, by the way. And I ask you to go ahead and look that up. And some of the bystanders hearing it said, the man's calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine. This is tremendous. They were going to try and dull his pain. And they put it on a reed and they gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and save him. Hey, don't calm him down yet. Let's see if this thing works out. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. And church, look at this. Will you say the word yielded with me? Yielded. Do you understand this word? He stepped aside from the authority that he had and he gave himself up for us. Only Jesus. We'll move to, verse 57. Jesus had died. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. He was also, as history tells us, a Pharisee. He was a disciple of Jesus, and he went to Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. This also was to actually fulfill scripture. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. They were watching. But I'm going to tell you guys something, and Josh said this morning. It's like such a great encouragement for me. And here we are with very little time, but death could not hold him down. This is the king. This is your king, if you would. If you hear his voice, this is the one that gives you the authority to overcome whatever authority in your life is not treating you right. Whatever pain that you've been going on, Jesus flips the script. Church, this is our good news. Anybody could die. Only one could raise himself up from the dead, and that's Jesus. Yeah, but you don't know my story. I don't. I'm telling you the story of stories, though. What authority does Jesus have to help you in your situation? To give you strength, to give you perspective, to give you the kingdom. What would it be? Look, I'm going to read for you in the entirety, Matthew 28. I'm going to ask you, as you are physically able, stand with me as we read this amazing chapter. Truly short amount of verses. If Aaron doesn't preach on it, we could get out of here quickly. I don't know that that's anybody's goal. If it is, love you. I do. But here we go. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. How you like me now? His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then they went quickly and they told his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Then go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. Also like he said, there you'll see him. See, I've told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. Come on, can we just take a minute? Wow. And they came up and they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they'll see me. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. What do they call that money? Hush money. Didn't work because we're talking about it right now. There's no such thing as hushing the truth. You could try, but it's not going to work. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. That's a promise they couldn't keep, by the way. They couldn't keep these people out of trouble, even if it was their own guards. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. All those scaredy cats scattered, including Peter. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That sounds about right. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Mic drop. Except the mic isn't dropped because we continue today in this. Would you, will you pay attention to this great commission from the great King? So I ask you this morning, friends, what's King Jesus calling you to be and do? Is he calling you to discipleship? You know you need to be in his word. You know you need to be sharing his word. You need to be chopping it up into bite-sized pieces and talking it out. You need to be in a community group, and you haven't found one yet. Dear friends, start one. We are lame at doing that at Crosswater Community Church. Dear friends, I need your help. We need your help. I meet with people. I want to meet more with people. I think you do too. I get it. Life is crazy busy. But we make time for what we truly want to do. We spend money on what we want to spend money on. That's not always a 100%, but it happens a lot. What will you do? Are you being called to baptism? Look, I've already been baptized. Talk to your friends about baptism. If you haven't been baptized, we have one coming up September 9th, but here goes a really cool gift from God. There's water all over the place. Well, I don't want to do it on September 9th. We could talk that out. I think some of you are afraid. What, the Jesus who died and rose from the dead to give us life can't give you strength to talk in front of people? Briefly even? But if so, we can go to the river. I baptized a 300-pound dude in a bathtub, and it was one of these moves. Because he was a big boy. Is he calling you to teach? Not just little kids, not just teaching young people, but more importantly, the people in your life. Share with them. You know what I read today? Do you know what God's been doing in my heart? Be this open book. Is he calling you to obedience? You know what he's been calling you to do. Who to forgive, how to stay in there. You're in a marriage that's lame. You've lost a loved one. This woman, oh my goodness, I've never met somebody like this except potentially Kathy. But Kathy hasn't gone through what this woman has gone through. Her father-in-law died 2 months ago. A week and a half ago, her mother died. She's so into this ministry that she left from where her family was grieving and came up to Washington in this caravan of a bunch of Air Force people to come and raise money and awareness for the fact that over 92% of women who see an ultrasound of their baby don't abort their baby. it's so real to her. She's like, my mom would want me to keep living this out. Some of the most spirit-filled people I've ever met, Catholics, Lutherans, Baptists, Protestants. There was a Jewish dude there who doesn't even believe in Jesus, but he believes in this life that God has given. We had a little bit of a conversation. That was exciting. But I need to say to you, and we need to go. I need to say to you that there's a dot, dot, dot question mark. What is the King of Kings calling you to do with this great commission? Please don't wait for the new year. Please don't wait for school to start. Don't wait for your vacations to be over. That's all right. You're probably not getting robbed right now. Don't worry about it. I want to ask you, what is it that he's calling you to do? Is he calling you to dedicate your family to the Lord? Is he calling you to be a part of that September 9th celebration, whether you're a teacher or not? Invite your friends who are teachers. Invite the students. Come here. Get free food. Why not? Get prayed for. Get prayed with. Invite people. Be an open book invitator. Invitator? Inviter. I'm making up stuff. Look. I can't wait to share with you. I've got some really, really cool news, but it's a huge surprise for some people. We're not pregnant. I know you're like, what? But there's probably other people who are pregnant. Congrats. If you're keeping it on the down low, Jesus knows. But for us, we're not, and it's not that, and none of my family is pregnant or getting married, but I have a cool thing. And it's probably way more cool to me, but I'll share it with you next week. So stand by. But what I'm saying is that there's so much going on. I'm already over, so here goes the story. I'm in this big, huge field in Steilacoom. It's a Sports Steilacoom Park. We're down in Tacoma. I didn't know that there was anything that beautiful in Tacoma, but yeah, there is. And it's gorgeous. And we're getting this event prepared, and it's so much work, and I'm tired. But what happened at that moment was one of the coolest and weirdest things I'd ever seen. I look up into the sky, and there's this, like, commercial airliner that's super low. And coming in hotter than hot are these F-15s. Now, I'm around a ton, and I mean a ton, of Air Force pilots. And, I mean, there's probably in that place, there was at least 15. Test pilots, fighter pilots, all that are a part of this ministry. And I go to this guy, Tony, I go, Tony, is that normal? He goes, oh no, everybody's too low. And so here's this F-15 following this airliner, and there's this other F-15 up here. I go, what's that about? He goes, he's going to light him up. And I'm like, you mean like blow him up, light him up? And he goes, yep. And I'm like, what's going on? He goes, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's a hijacking or something. Then we later find out what most of you found out it was. Do you know that there was three times that dude was over our heads? This field was acres upon acres. And there was hundreds of people on those fields. He easily could have landed it there. I'm sad I don't know all of his story. I'm praying for his family. I'm praying for all these people. But the reality is, all of us are close to our last breath. What are you going to do with the one you have right now? Joe Dirt said it best. Is that what you want to do? Is that what you want to be doing when Jesus comes back? No guilt trip, but an invitation. Follow Jesus. He's the King, and he proved it over and over and over again. Father, your way, always. Have us now. Do in us what only you can do. Thank you for your kindness that leads us to repentance. Thank you that in your kindness you actually let us get caught doing things that we ought not to. Thank you that nothing can take us out of your hand. And for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. I pray all this in your perfect name. Amen. Those kids got louder. They're ready to go. Love you. God bless you. Bye.